The Bible reading this morning will be taken from 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter, verses 21 through 25. That is 2 Kings 23, verses 21 through 25. It says, "And the king commanded all the people, saying, Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of his covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein his Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him rose there any like him."
In keeping with our themes this month, we are looking at young heroes. And Josiah would definitely fit that description. Randy read from a passage that talks about Josiah doing something in the 18th year of his reign. But Josiah became king at age 8. So even when he was leading those great religious reforms, he was a man in his mid-20s, which I think definitely would qualify for this theme of young, faithful servants of God. There's a lot in this, and we have a limited amount of time, so we'll try to move as quickly as possible through the story of Josiah. The first thing we would point out that's so admirable about him is that even as a young man, he overcame tremendous odds that the way the world so often looks at things today, you would say things were really stacked against him. First of all, was the matter of his family. He was the great-grandson of Hezekiah, who was one of the great faithful kings over the kingdom of Judah. But his immediate family did not offer him much in the way of support. His grandfather was King Manasseh. And the way Manasseh was described in 2 Kings 21 is that he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations, whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places, which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah, as Ahab the king of Israel had done, and he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. So he was a worshiper of Baal, he was a worshiper of the constellations, all of the things of the Babylonians, and he turned the people away from God after the efforts of his father Hezekiah had been to turn the people back to God. And then his father, Josiah's father, Ammon, is described in this way. He did evil in the sight of the Lord as Manasseh his father had done, for he walked in all the ways that his father had walked and served the idols that his father had served and worshipped them. So Josiah becomes king at age 8, having been raised by a father and a grandfather that had led the people of Judah away from faithfulness to God. So in spite of that matter of his family, there was also the condition of the nation which his father and grandfather had created, or at least had abetted during their reigns. And as Josiah becomes king at age 8, he becomes king over a nation that has already been condemned by God to go into captivity. In 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 11, says, because Manasseh, the king of Judah, has done this abomination, having done wickedly more than the Amorites did who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity on Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plumb line of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will abandon the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hands of their enemies, and they will become as plunder and spoil to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have been provoking me to anger since the day their fathers came from Egypt, even to this day. And so Judah was already condemned. The captivity was going to come. That was irreversible. And Josiah, at a very young age, becomes king over this doomed nation. We don't have time to read 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 4 through 20. But that passage just describes how far into the depths of wickedness this country had fallen under the leaderships of Manasseh and Ammon. The temple had been filled with pagan idols. Immorality was rampant among the priesthood and the people. Sorcery and spiritism were being practiced, even though it was a direct violation of the law of God. And Jews were offering human sacrifices to the Asherah. So when Josiah becomes king at age 8, this is the conditions that he finds. And it would be so easy for a young person to be overwhelmed by these conditions and say, this is just the way the world is. But Josiah did not do that. And so that's why he is considered a young hero, I think. He basically was a man of excellent character. And the Bible describes that using a number of phrases. First of all, we are told that Josiah did what was right. In 2 Kings 22 and verse 1, the scripture says Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adaliah of Bozkath. He did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, nor did he turn to the right or to the left. And so basically there's three things there that is said about him. He did right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the ways of David, his king, his father, who was considered to be the example of a king who was what God wanted for his people. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. The second thing that is observed about him in Scripture is that he had respect for the Word of God. During his renovation of the temple, which happened in his reign, a copy of the law of God was found, and this shows you how deep the godlessness of the country had become, that it was an event that someone actually found a copy of the scripture. And Josiah had that law read to him, and in 2 Kings 22, it describes his reaction to hearing the law of God. In 22:11, it says he repented. It says he tore his clothes, that he was so upset by what the law said and what he recognized that meant for the nation. So he sent a prophet. He asked for someone to go inquire of the Lord and ask him what he, Josiah, should do. And then in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 3, he commits himself to keeping the law. He says, I will obey this law that has been read. And so God commends Josiah. There are a number of places where he does, including 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 18. But the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard. because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse. You have torn your clothes and wept before me. I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. And so, this being God's description of him, it says a number of things about Josiah. First of all, it says he was one of a tender heart. It was particularly tender towards God and towards the Word of God, allowing the Word of God to influence and convict him. It also says that he was humble. Rather than looking at his kingship as an opportunity to exalt himself and have all the people serve him, he humbled himself before God, and he sought to serve God as a humble servant, even though he was the king. And he was truly penitent. And so his repentance was from the heart, that tender heart that he had. And God said, I recognize that. So as we look at then the life of Josiah, there are a number of things that he specifically is noted for. First of all, in 2 Kings 22, verses 3 through 7, we've already mentioned that he instituted a repair of the temple. The temple had been allowed to fall into disrepair because the previous kings were not interested in the serving of Jehovah, per se. And so, at the age of 26, 18 years after he became king, Josiah began the repairs of the temple. And it starts with this matter that he is going to reform the temple. He is diligent simply as the king to take care of the structure of the temple. And this gives us an example of the fact that sometimes it is the little things we do that lead to great things. Because it's in this process of just saying, I'm the king, this is the temple of God, I'm responsible for it. We haven't done the maintenance on it, let's clean it up, let's take care of it. That's when the copy of the law is found. And that little thing of let's just take care of what we've got turns into the big thing of we need to be serving God in a more faithful manner. Secondly, he led the people to commit themselves to be faithful to the covenant that was contained in that law that they found. And with the restoration of the temple. In 2 Kings chapter 23, we're told that he made the law known to the people. He had the people assembled and had the priests read the law to them. He committed himself before the people saying, I'm going to keep this covenant. And he influenced the people to make that commitment with him. And it's interesting, I think, to note that he did this knowing that God had told him it was already too late for the nation, that Jerusalem was still going to be judged, that they were still going to go in captivity for the buildup of their sins over the many generations. What we don't know, though, is how many of the people that we often, when we look at this period of Jewish history, we call the remnant, the faithful people of God. Because when the destruction comes and Nebuchadnezzar carries the children of Israel of Judah into captivity, there are faithful servants of God. And so how much of that is the result because a young man said, I'm going to do right, you need to do right. And so lending on into the next generation, there are those who are faithful to God even through the period of the captivity. The third thing he did was he removed all the objects of false religion from Judah. This is described in 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 4 through 20. It's too long a passage for us to read in the time frame we work with in these morning lessons. But the things he did are this. He removed the idolatrous objects and altars from the temple. The first thing he did is he didn't just clean up the temple. He cleaned out the temple of all of the false objects of worship that his father and his grandfather had brought there. He took all of the priests who were there and who were compromising and allowing those things to be in the temple, and he removed them from the temple service. He physically destroyed the idols. He didn't just get them out and put them in a storeroom somewhere. He destroyed them. The high places where the people went to worship the pagan gods and to do the human sacrifice and those type of things, he totally destroyed them. 2 Kings 23:13 and 14 says. He went up to what had formerly been the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, and there he destroyed Jeroboam's altar, a story that goes all the way back to 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 2, when Jeroboam built the alternate altar for the people of Israel, saying, you don't have to go down to Jerusalem to worship. You can worship God here. And that started the slide of the northern kingdom away from God. You might remember the story of the young prophet who God sent up there, and he prophesied against that altar and said that altar would be destroyed. Remember that story? And God told him, you go up there, you prophesy, you come straight home, and he didn't do that, and the lion ate him and all that. Josiah fulfills the prophecy that young prophet had made that God would have this altar destroyed. He saw to it that it was destroyed. While he was there, he likewise destroyed all the high places and the shrines in Samaria that had been responsible for the downfall of the northern kingdom of Israel. He killed all the idolatrous priests. He didn't just remove them from service. He executed them because of their unfaithfulness. And he removed all of the spiritists and the mediums, the witches, the soothsayers, those type of people from Israel. And then finally, which was mentioned in the passage that Randy read for us at the very beginning, he led Judah in a faithful observance of the Passover, one that was characterized as being a celebration that had not been seen since the day of the judges. So he restored the observation of the Passover of the Lord. And so the Bible gives us a picture of the kind of life that Josiah led, the kind of person that he was. One of the interesting things that I think we learn from the book of Josiah is that God's blessings can come in many different forms. God allowed Josiah to die as a young man. Normally, from our human perspective, dying is something we have a great deal of difficulty to start with, and we have a particularly great deal of difficulty when a young person dies. And yet, because Josiah was so faithful, and God had said, in spite of all of your faithfulness, you can't undo what has been done. The judgment has been declared. Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. But God allowed Josiah to die in battle, an honorable death, a hero's death. And he did not have to see that judgment come upon his people. Then several passages talk about the evaluation of Josiah. The writer of the Kings in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 25 says, before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. There was no king like him before him or after him, because he gave his heart totally to the Lord, his heart, his soul, and all his might. He kept God's law. Then there is the evaluation of the prophet Jeremiah. And you have to look for this. If you look up Josiah, like in a concordance or so forth, you won't find these verses. Because Jeremiah is actually speaking to Josiah's son after Josiah's death. And what Jeremiah says is, do you become a king because you are competing in cedar? Did not your father, that would be Josiah, eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He pled the cause of the afflicted and the needy. Then it was well. Is not that what it is meant to know me, declares the Lord? And so Jeremiah said, now, your father ate and drank. And I think that probably means he lived like all the rest of us. He did the things that you do as a human being. But, he says, your father did justice and righteousness. He was concerned first and foremost in his life about what was right. And he lived to serve. He defended the poor and the needy. And most importantly, he knew the Lord. So I think Josiah is a great example of a servant of God who did what he could do in spite of the circumstances that he inherited in life. He overcame family. He overcame a nation that was wicked. And when all is said and done, can there be any better epitaph for any child of God than to have someone say, he knew the Lord. He knew the Lord. So Josiah, I commend to you as an example of what a servant of God is intended to be. I believe Brother Tommy has the closing prayer. Then we will be dismissed to our classes.